This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Bruce Levine, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Aturo.com. Bruce, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. I'm just wondering, Mully, are you available via your contract to play shortstop for the Chicago White Sox?
If they end up with a guy like me trying to play shortstop in the major leagues, then they would set a new record for failure. Because I mean, guarantee with, you, seven errors an inning, is that what it would be?
With all due respect, you know, your name is right there with Nick Maton and Tristan Gray, two guys that have had, you know, up and down careers and have been invited as non-rosters this year. And you know, with the Madrid going to the minor leagues back to AAA, the guy that most people thought was going to be the shortstop until Montgomery was ready, it's pretty much up in the air with two or three days left.
Well, how does that happen, Bruce? Explain to Sox fans, explain to us how the Sox essentially gave Colson Montgomery the chance to win the job, and he didn't. Gave the job to Chase Mydroth and him the opportunity to win the job, and he didn't. And how we're supposed to feel good about the player development in a season that is all about player development. And the first two shots at shortstop were swings and misses, essentially.
Well, you know, it's not like Montgomery is done in the organization. The key is to get him more reps, to get him more confident, to dominate down there for a month and then be back. So, you know, putting someone in there full time is really not the idea. I mean, you have Baldwin played there, you know, quite a bit last year. You know, you have Amaya who doesn't really hit very much. That's a possibility. But this is not, they're not looking for a full-time shortstop. They're looking for somebody to handle the position until Montgomery's ready. And hopefully that's sometime at the end of April and early May.
It's just confounding because we're 2 days away, right? And you know, Bruce, you kind of talked me off the ledge a little bit, saying that there are players that will be cut, that will be starting
for this team. So I'm like, there's still time. They can get somebody in here. But it is just weird that we don't know what the lineup is.
Would you feel better if when I talked to one of my sources, they said, yeah, we're going after Nicky Lopez? Would you feel
like they're not doing that, right?
I know, but would that be a more confident way to go? Or would you say, we're going back to last year?
That's what's interesting, because I think Madroff didn't hit well enough, and they didn't want to ruin him before he had a chance to develop. And now they got the double play combination down at Charlotte, and maybe they can figure something out, and maybe both of them are back in a month or two. I don't know. But I like that they're prioritizing development. And I hate to say this, Bruce, but I like the idea that they're the worst team in baseball and they're going to get the first pick next year. And it just seems to feed into where they are as an organization. And I know that is – but if there was some Paul Skeens out there that they wound up getting because they're so damn bad, I don't care how bad they are.
Here's the good news, okay? Short-term good news, they play the second-worst team in the American League the first three games of the season. Does that make you feel any better?
Great.
You're the best. That's a happy thought.
I think what Mully's pointing at or looking at is that you want to feel good about the way the Sox are developing players.
Right.
And you'd like to see more evidence of that than we currently have. Now, maybe Miguel Vargas will be an example of that because he was a 105 hitter when he came from the Dodgers, and now he's starting at third base after a strong spring. That's a good story. That's something you can maybe get enthused about, encouraged by. When you look at what's going on at shortstop, I think that's why I asked the question the way I did, Bruce. It's somewhat disappointing because of where the expectation was at the beginning of spring. And we want to see other examples of positive player development at whatever positions they may come.
So, again, positive player development is not putting a person in that position at the major league level that's not ready. Okay?
Fair enough.
I mean, that is, you know, and Mully said it perfectly, and I think he's right. You know, Madroff is going to go play second base. Montgomery's going to play short. Development is there. I mean, you know, Sox fans will say, great, so we're going to lose 110, 115 again. It's a possibility, but, you know, if I'm watching those two players at second and short beginning in May, and they're showing that promise that they have to, you know, moving forward after these trades that the White Sox have made and after the development of Montgomery, fine. If not, and it doesn't happen within this year, you know, if Chris Getz does not have this job forever, let me remind you that, even though that Jerry Reinsdorf was more than loyal to the people that worked for him in the baseball department for years, that's not going to be the case this time. I can guarantee you that. There has to be results. There have to be better results. And just like the fans and the media, Jerry's expecting this team to be better and showing something down the line here that is going to be worthwhile when it comes to watching the Chicago White Sox.
You know, I recall when Joe Maddon came here, and this is such an unfair comparison, but we talked about this idea that a new manager meant at most two wins difference. You know, so I think they had a bad manager. I think he probably cost them a couple games. If this guy's a good manager, maybe the record improves by like four games, best case scenario. But I feel like Joe Maddon blew that theory out of the water, because they were so much better with him and he knew how to deal with young guys. And are they going for young guys? Are they going for middling prospects that might be better, like, you know, journeyman type major leaguers that might be good enough to trade? Or are they really concerned with player development? Like, I can't tell. I don't know their lineup. It's Tuesday, and the lineup needs to be handed to the guy on Thursday.
I know.
He's really concerned about the lineup.
I don't know.
Better about the lineup?
I'd like to just know the background of all the players. I don't want to be surprised. Oh, I'm related to that guy.
I mean, do you feel better about the rotation then? Okay,
they're all having surgery. Everyone's having Tommy John.
It's, you know, look, I don't know, you know, the story. I don't know how much we can beat up the White Sox without at some point, if they're not improving, people just ignoring them, right? I mean, that's pretty much what a lot of White Sox fans did last year, you know, as the story moved on. They were, you know, other than a few games toward the end where fans came out to boo the result and boo the owner, there weren't a lot of fans coming out to the ballpark. They had drawn the fewest amount of people there since 1999. So that I don't think that's going to change a lot here until you see better results on the field. I'm saying if I'm a Sox fan and I know that Madrid's at second, Montgomery's at short, and that at least I have a future to look at there as they're developing in May and June, I'm going to feel better about going out there. I will say that I applaud Getz for not forcing these guys to the major league level when they're not ready.
All right, Bruce, one more Sox question before maybe we get to the Cubs, but I think it pertains to the rotation because that does seem a little bit more solid and predictable. Davis Martin had a pretty sneaky good spring, and I think he's a good guy that's very intriguing to watch how he translates that into the regular season. Jonathan Cannon did not, and I think expectations were high for him, so I wonder if that carries over into the regular season. We talked about Shane Smith, the Rule 5 guy, and we know about Martin Perez, certainly. So I wonder, when you look at the Sox rotation, what are you looking for, or what are you looking at in terms of strengths and weakness?
I'm looking for guys that can throw 90 pitches coming out of spring training and get you through the fifth or sixth inning. You know, not looking for a real lot other than that, because you can't start going to the bullpen and like it's spring training games where you have an unlimited amount of pitchers available to you. You know, the roster is going to be locked in. You're going to have guys in the minor leagues, yeah, and they'll have options that'll come up. But I'm most concerned about the starters having built up enough to be able to give you six innings if they're having a good day, or they're facing a team that's really not offensively ready, and they're doing okay. So from that perspective, I want to see major league caliber starting pitchers ready to do their thing. That's the one thing I don't know yet. When we look at the amount of innings and the amount of major league games from the rotation, you know, there's not outside of Perez,
right?
There's you know, their hands full of major league starts, and that's the great unknown for the Chicago White Sox and their starting rotation.
And some of those guys are coming off injury themselves, and some of them you'll have to monitor. They're going to need 8 or 9 different starters. And I know a lot of teams will, but I think they're going to need more. I worry about this with the Cubs, too. If guys can't eat a lot of innings, what happens to your bullpen? You know, and that was why yesterday when they played Atlanta, they gave up. It's the game in spring training, and it's not even the Cactus League, but it's a lot of runs. It's a lot of home runs. If a guy comes into the game and gives up 3 home runs before you get him out of the inning, ugly.
As you look at the Cubs, you can feel a lot better about the fact that at Triple-A, you're going to have Jordan Wicks. You're going to have Javier Assad. You're going to have a healthy Cade Horton. These guys are more than just expected to be able to pitch in the major leagues. We know Assad is more than capable of starting or being a middle reliever. We know that Wicks is a starting pitcher and that has some experience. So when you look at their situation, you understand that the Cubs have much better ideas about what they're going to be looking at when they have to turn to the minor leagues. And make no mistake about it, you're going to turn to the minor leagues. You're going to turn to trades. You're going to turn to waivers as to solidifying your team as the season moves forward. Last year, the Cubs signed 30 pitchers, 3-0,
wow,
from April through September, wow, last year. Okay, and a lot of them were never announced because they were minor league AAA contracts. The only way you knew it is if you went to MLB.com, your app, and you looked at the signings and transactions. That's how you knew it happened. There were rarely any of those things ever announced.
So, Bruce, yesterday in the Cubs game that they lost to the Braves, Gage Workman homered again. He's been as productive of a hitter as the Cubs have had in camp in spring training. What do they do with the roster now? Did they have to pare it down to 26? We talk about this nearly every day because it seems to maybe change every single day. Brujan might be the odd guy, odd man out here. I know they traded Matt Mervis for him, but I just wonder, what do you anticipate the Cubs doing with the roster in that final spot that Gage Workman is trying to make?
Well, I think Brujan's the odd man out. Workman... Now, remember last year when they started the season in Texas and Morrell didn't start the first game? You remember that? They had, I forgot who exactly played third, but you know, the whole spring was all about Morrell.
Master Boney?
I think it was.
I think they had seven different third basemen last year, all of whom are gone.
Right. But Morrell eventually took over the job until he was traded. The idea is that, with Council, you can't think along with him, okay? You cannot. And to think that Workman is not going to be a part of what's going on at third base, I think that would be naive. I think, you know, it's certainly Shaw's job, but against certain right-handed pitching, Workman's going to be in there. He's going to be in there at different positions. They're not getting a Rule 5 kid who they think, well, we'll hold on to for a year, we won't play him. They're not going to play with this manager won't play with a 25-man roster, okay? He won't do it. So either Workman, he's going to get time in there, and if he's proving himself, he's going to continue to be in the lineup. That is, I think, the essence of what Council is, regardless of what we think we know about him. He's about winning every day, and he's about putting people in there and not caring about whether you're hurting someone's feelings or not.
It's fascinating because I think that we look at that first part of the schedule and who they're playing, and we know they're already 0-2, even if the whole thing was goofy. But that's reality. How important are these first 24 games, and what do you think they will do in terms of production?
Well, guess what the Cubs were last year, the first month in the season, including two games in March.
Last year they were very good out of the gate.
Yeah, 17-13.
Very good.
Right.
Yep. The Council.
Council. You know, everybody was saying, "Hey, he's got him right at first place, right near there, great two streaks." I think where they won six games once and five or six games another time. So it was all looking good. So the first month of the season is important because as we look back, you know, people say, well, you know, if they would have won these games in April, that wasn't the Cubs. It was May and June last year, right? They tanked. And that's what cost them winning 87 games and being in the playoffs last year. So I think sometimes we make too much of April. But again, we're fans, we're observers, we're people that care. And you're looking for ways to be able to determine how a club is going to look all year. All these projections, Cubs are going to win 86, Cubs are going to win 77, Cubs are 80, you know.
92?
That's a machine, okay? These are people out there playing the game. The Cubs have looked like they're a better team coming into this season. They look like they have more depth, certainly on the bench, which cost them, you know, if you guys talk about a manager costing a team two games or being worth two games.
Right.
It's all as good as your 26-man roster. It's a better roster coming into this year. We'll see how it plays out.
If PCA struggles or is injured, is Ian Happ the backup plan in center field as we saw yesterday?
Boy.
No.
That was a quick answer.
No.
Who is?
He's not. Well, he's going to be starting at AAA, you know, Alcantara. And that's the guy who's going to be ready to play center field. Okay. He's the best center fielder in the organization this side of Armstrong. So they don't really have another candidate there. Brujan, who has been playing the outfield, might not make the roster when Horner comes back. Right. You guys already identified that coming into our conversation, right? So as good as he's been, where is he going to play? He has no options. They can't send him to the minors. They can release him, try to sign him again, but he's probably going to end up somewhere else.
You know, I don't remember. When did they start blowing the saves? Is that the part where they fell, you know?
That was in May and June.
Yeah, so that's got to be resolved. You got to make sure that doesn't happen again. If you can have that, you're all of a sudden going to get your 90 wins.
I think you got a really good start with the bullpen they have. You know, again, are we looking at the Presley from 2 years ago, from last year, closer to setup man to, you know, mid-30s guy that
Throw.
How about the guy that doesn't load the bases with walks?
I mean, that's a good start. And like you said, Brazier, you know, if you're going off of spring training, that wasn't very good yesterday.
No, three home runs in the fifth? Come on.
I mean, didn't you feel like you wanted to get up there and swing as well? I mean, when he was throwing it down the middle.
If you're giving those away, let me have one.
Good stuff, Bruce.
That's great, Bruce. You're
all
the
right,
best.
Guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great day.
Yep, you too.
That is our guy, Bruce Levine.
Good information. Yeah, back
always,
and forth, Cubs and Sox.
Fun. Always
a lot going on. The Sox lineup remains unresolved. Days away from opening day. The Cubs, they have different kinds of questions, but we still wonder about the back end of that roster. I think Bruce is right. I think Bruhan could be the odd man out, as we said during the pick six. I like Gage Workman and everything he has done this spring.
I love a good lefty bat coming off.
Left-handed
the bench.
Bats are hard to find.
Big deal.
Especially ones that hit for power.
Yeah,
you're right. He homered on cue yesterday, right when Ron Kroemer talked about him needing to do something to make the team or to make an impression. Gage Workman stood up at the plate and did this.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Gage Workman getting an at-bat here. Gotta like that. He's at a great camp. You know, his future is to be determined probably in the next 24 hours, I am sure. That young guy is just a grinding right now.
The pitch to Workman, a high fly ball.
This
into deep
it.
Right field. Kelnick going back, looks up, long gone. Halfway up the berm in right. And you're absolutely right, Coop. Gage Workman on cue leaves the yard. A two-run shot, brand new ball game. 2-2 Cubs and Braves here in the second. For Workman, that's home run number 4 this spring.
Grinding a little less right now after you just hit a bomb to right.
Asked and
that
answered.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
That's great. It's, and you know, he's absolutely right, and the guy did deliver. Perfect.
Well timed.
Great call by Zach, as always. All right. 312-644-6767. 2 days away. Are you ready? Are you geared up? Are you watching the Cubs over the tournament?
And what was this we were talking about earlier? Domino's Pizza in Japan?
We'll get to that next. Right. Mully and Haw on the score.
Is there someone who you saw sneaking off to Taco Bell every single day? Who was it?
I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I saw someone get a little Domino's Pizza. That was the only person I saw. But I'd say everyone. I mean, that we were there also for 7 days. At some point, you got to kind of switch it up, right?
Was it a position player or a pitcher?
Need some clues. It was a pitcher. I'm not throwing anyone under the bus.
Okay.
That's fun. The Mully and Haw on the score. The Cubs on their trip to Japan. Someone needed some Domino's pizza.
Yeah.
Couldn't handle the repeated sushi.
Jameson Taillon is the suspected culprit.
No, that was
Taillon
was
there.
Him talking. So, all he would admit that was a pitcher.
Yes.
So now we get to
speculate. I understand that point of view, being in Japan and maybe having a longing for, or maybe a tiring of the local cuisine and wanting something that is more familiar. I was there for 7 days, as I've told the story before.
Yes.
And about day four, I found myself going to the nearby McDonald's and having dinner at the Hard Rock Cafe. Because I just wanted a burger. Wanted something that was not Japanese food.
That is, honest to God, a horrible thing to admit.
I'm sorry. But I'm acknowledging I'm taking a lot of heat for my food taste today.
You're taking heat. But you're no hot dog at the ball game.
I'm no hot dog at the ball game.
And now you know olive in the martini.
I don't like the olive in the martini.
That was a blow.
But in Japan.
That was bad. Do you like a dirty martini where they put some of the juice from
I'd be fine with that. Okay. Dirty martini's fine.
Filthy.
I'm fine with that. I like the flavored martinis, though.
Okay.
The mango martini, the appletini. I like these kind of things, Dustin. I'm sorry. I know that's not really fun to admit either.
But hearing you list it.
I'm just saying. I'm being honest about it.
I was in Italy when I was in school, And we got off the train, and we just wanted something quick to eat. And there was like a knockoff McDonald's place. And the two of us, I was with my buddy Bob Napleton, we were in a sprint to get some of this horrible fast food. And it was not even McDonald's. It was so bad. But we're like chewing on it like, oh, God, oh, this is great. Because we're Americans. And it was like, it was a bad moment because it was one of those meals where you immediately feel like you got grease on your face.
I know.
It's horrible.
It's a little, yeah, I know. But you got to do what you got to do, right?
I'm with you. But this was after months. This wasn't the first week.
Well, it was after a few days. And I have to admit, and you know me, so this is probably, I'm saying 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, I remember going to the McDonald's that was nearest to the hotel. I remember the Hard Rock Cafe because I really went in there to sit down and eat. And then I found a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, that is unbelievable.
I had to.
I was in Australia.
Enough sushi already.
Get a load of this one. I'm in Australia. I'm in Alice Springs, which is where, you know, the Rock is. And I go to a Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm like, can I just get two chicken breasts? And the woman says, no.
No.
I'm like, why?
No.
You can have one, but we only have two left, and someone else might want one. And I'm like, yes, someone else wants one. It's me, and I'm standing in front of you ready to buy it. Why would you? She refused and
I've
gave
never
me
heard
one,
that. Like one
chicken
customer.
Breast. That was it.
That's really cruel.
It was so mean.
That would have been the last time I would have shopped at that specific
well,
location.
Well, I mean, it was weird that I was there. It was happenstance that I found it. And then they wouldn't give me two chicken breasts. I had one piece of chicken for dinner.
That's really not enough.
It's cruel.
That's just not enough. It's not
enough.
Wonder, though, about this cup thing with the pitchers going out for dominoes. You wonder if what happened with Mookie Betts?
Oh, my God.
I mean, did Mookie
Betts?
He was
sick on his way. He was sick
no,
on
but
his
he's
way
like,
to Japan.
But he's all. But he's like
he's,
real
he's
sick.
He's like 157. He's his body is rejecting food.
15
is that
pounds.
Right? So what is
20
that?
20-something pounds.
Okay.
Holy God. It's awful.
23.
I mean,
Warden.
I really
But
I'm
it started in Japan,
him.
Did it not?
No.
It was announced in Japan. He couldn't
oh.
play.
All right. I'm sorry.
But I went there, and
I take
said
that back.
But I mean,
so
I don't think it was food poisoning in Japan.
It's not. No, it's not food poisoning if you're sick that long, right? Is he got a virus?
Probably
some
kind of a bug. Yeah,
he's got a bug in his stomach.
Yeah.
Some GI issue.
He's some gut. He needs some gut health.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. It's nothing to laugh at. Why are you making me laugh?
I mean, it's horrible.
It's terrible.
Probiotic.
One of the best players in Major League Baseball will not be at full strength
but
to start the season.
He's also like losing weight. He's losing
down to 157.
Yeah, he might be
crazy.
On the injured list. I mean, he may not open.
Right. I don't think he will. He can't be strong enough to do that.
No, that's terrible.
And he was going to be their opening day shortstop. That was the year. This
body
is the year,
is
right?
Finally,
food.
He was going to finally play shortstop.
What? Explain to me what that's like. I've never had that problem.
I hope the Dodgers will be okay without him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're going to get through.
Poor Dodgers.
That's awful, though.
What will they do? Yeah, so I didn't know if that was bad food over there. But I do relate to the cup pitcher who snuck away and got his dominoes because, you know, you like your comforts of home. And
sure you do.
Sometimes. It was. I tried the Japanese cuisine for a few days. The good part about that,
they
Molly,
got ranch over there, David.
I think maybe not. I don't think I was on my ranch kick yet. But the good news to that is that when you come back, you know this. My expense report was beautiful.
Oh yeah,
it's like you know, $11 for dinner.
Exactly. Yeah, like, they're like, wow,
that's a 3-piece chicken
dinner. We should
dinner.
Send you more places.
Yeah. I was the most. Yeah. That was the most economical trip I ever made for the Tribune. That was awesome.
I must say that the one chicken breast was cheap. The two might have been more expensive.
See? You got to look at the bright side. You're being
right.
frugal, but you're still hungry.
You're very upbeat.
Something else we don't talk about a lot, but it happened in the announcement yesterday, news at Northwestern. Northwestern women's basketball coach Joe McEwen.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Legend.
He's got 777 victories. He's 17 NCAA appearances. He's been at Northwestern since 2008, and he announced it next year will be his last. So he's going to have the victory tour, if you will, and good for him. And hopefully he goes out with a winning season and It just that is good.
He's a legend.
He's a legend. Yep. He's a great guy.
Yes, he is.
He's run a terrific program, and he's somebody, along with Doug Bruno in town at DePaul,
yes,
we tend to overlook. You know, we talk about March Madness and the men's tournament. We tend to overlook the women's college basketball programs in this city, in this area, and they're very strong because of those two guys.
Well, we have talked more about the Notre Dame women's team than we have anyone else.
Neil Ivey.
They got to a point where they were number one in the country,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So, and now they're in the Final 16.
They advanced. They got to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, we try to
acknowledge Neil Ivey, everyone. Terrific. She won a national title at Notre Dame as a player,
yes,
in 2001. She won as an assistant coach in 2018, I believe. Muffet McGraw as a head coach. And she's got a chance this year to win as a head coach, and that would be a nice trifecta.
And I wish her son were playing for the Bulls. How's that?
I wish her son recovers from his injury, and yeah, I wish he were playing for the Bulls.
Yeah,
yes,
that's true.
They could use him.
Yeah.
Although now they're loaded.
Yeah, they're loaded.
Maybe they don't need Jaden Ivey.
Bulls can't be beaten. Break up the Bulls. I hate to go to this again because it's just an awful thing to bring up. But Juju Watkins yesterday had an injury. I don't know how many people look in on the women's tournament, and I don't know how many people care about it. I think a lot of people do, and I think it's on ESPN like literally 24/7, so you can watch a lot of it. And I think that she was the best player. I think she's better than Paige Brookers, whatever her
Paige
name,
Beckers from Connecticut. I think Juju is the better overall player.
The most compelling player, yeah, in the tournament has done her knee now. She got an ACL. It was like heartbreaking the way it happened because you could see the pain she was suffering. She's like the most like Mike women's player I've ever seen.
Well, she's dynamic and she's athletic, and you hope that she recovers fully from that and is the same player when she's healthy. But she's going to be out for a year, and that's going to be really difficult to recover from. Only 19 years old, I believe.
So will she get another year? Because if so, I was more thinking like,
oh, that's it,
the sky and stuff. Because remember, they traded that pick, and I think it affects the Juju Watkins draft.
It's a great point.
Because they get the rights to swap. So if she stays in, because you want to probably stay in women's college basketball because you get more money,
yeah,
probably staying in there
than you do in the WNBA.
This might delay her draft availability.
So this might delay. Maybe that's good.
That's interesting. Yeah, if she comes back as the same player.
If she comes back, or maybe she don't leave her, or maybe she gets that extra year back, yeah.
What you just said is kind of an interesting thing to consider because we have alluded to a couple examples in men's college basketball where staying in school or maybe college football behooves them to make more money. But the women's sport...
There is more money in
Juju
college
Watkins
than there is.
Could
right?
make more as yes. a college She's, athlete
she,
than she could
she
as a
has
WNBA
that
player.
Caitlin Clark appeal too.
I saw something too. I think Cheryl Miller, one of the great women's basketball players, she says something like, "Nowadays, the women's college basketball—that's where you make your money, and then you make your name more and your legacy through the WNBA."
Huh. Hmm.
I wonder if that worked that way for Angel Reese.
Angel Reese made more money in college than she does now.
She's making a lot of money as an endorser.
Yeah. I mean,
and then they just won that
Unrivaled.
Yeah, she won some money there. You know, she didn't play, but
her brother's the one the Crab Five.
I wonder how much money he gets.
Yeah, he's a senior now, right?
Yeah.
He's a lefty.
What do you think of
I hope he's not going into the portal.
Boy, I really triggered Dustin this morning, and I'm glad I did.
Man,
I'm glad I did.
That's a reference.
That was the best thing I said all morning.
Something earlier.
I made an issue that it bothered me that the portal is open and Justin Pippen, Scottie Pippen's son,
yes,
entered the portal for Michigan. Doesn't play a lot for the Wolverines, but
at all.
But it's still a
zero
distraction.
Minutes. Stat sheet empty.
Hey,
DNP, coach's decision. You know what that means? Transfer.
Yeah. Well, let's ask Brandon, since he has Michigan in the Final Four, do you believe it'll be a distraction?
I think it's a distraction to a certain extent because I'm thinking of practice. We play 5-on-5. I'm pretty sure he's on that practice. But
I feel like
this does distract any team that's right now that's in the tournament that you got transfers going in and out.
Thank you.
But I love you, Dustin.
You know basketball. You love Dustin. But
you're right. But I love you.
You're right. And it's a problem. It's a problem because it represents a bigger problem.
It's a problem because they're one of my Final Four teams. That's what Brandon's saying.
Try not to look at this from a self-interested point of view.
Okay.
Look at this from the big picture point of view. It's bad for the sport.
Enough talking about what I think. What do you think I think?
Okay, did you not hear what our college basketball expert, Mike DeCourcy, said? The reason it's going on right now. It's because of the school calendar.
And you know what? With due respect to Mike DeCourcy, and had we had him on longer, we'd have had this debate. To me, that's not an acceptable reason, because college basketball, and the tournament especially, really academics take a huge backseat.
Of course.
Huge.
Yes.
So to use that as a rationale for this transfer portal stuff is, I think, a crutch that is kind of flimsy.
Flimsy crutch. I mean, here's the problem. When we talk about athletes, when they're talking about, when you see guys in the tournament going to the microphone after a victory and proclaiming their coach is great because he gives us the money, I don't think, what's that guy majoring in?
Do you think Derek Queen's in class this morning?
He's majoring in basketball.
Do you think Derek Queen is in class this morning?
No.
Okay.
And as he should be, by the way, majoring in basketball.
All right.
How many people go to college to be a doctor and flunk out?
You just shut down your own argument, but thank you for doing so. I didn't need to.
All right, we got to get to our colleagues. We're gonna spend some time with the people we love, Layla and Marshall Harris. We'll get a chance to talk to them next. And Transition on 670 The Score is brought to you by Webb Hyundai in Highland or Merrillville, Indiana. You can get the vehicle of your dreams at the payment you want at Webb Hyundai. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.